Well, good morning. I'm not sure which is more intimidating, speaking to a strange audience or speaking to one's own congregation. But anyway, I first of all want to start by thanking this church, because over the years you have been very generous in what you've given to Tear Fund. I asked the Tear Fund office for a figure, and over all the years you have given a total of £46,363.37 to Tear Fund. I don't know who gave the 37 pence, but it's all welcome. In the last year, you've given 1,100 to be used where the need is greatest, and you've given £2,045 in response to the Natal earthquake. So Tear Fund have asked me to thank you for the generosity that this church has shown over the years, and I know that you will continue to give generously in what is a good work. Today we're going to be looking at the very difficult subject of human trafficking. Now, trafficking takes many forms. It's very topical at the moment with the refugee crisis and the people who are taking a lot of money off people to put them into little dinghies to send them across the Mediterranean Sea, many of whom have drowned. But there's also other forms of trafficking that we're going to be concentrating on this morning. I've been supporting Tear Fund financially for quite a number of years. And after I retired, I felt that I should do something more positive, and so I volunteered to be a Tear Fund church speaker. And a couple of years ago, actually nearly 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to go with a group of Tear Fund speakers to Thailand, Nepal, and Mumbai in India, and was able to see at first hand some of the work that Tear Fund do. And it really confirmed for me the very good work that Tear Fund do, because Tear Fund work through local churches and through Christian organizations. So they're not coming in as an outside agency. They are supporting the local church. The result of that, of course, is not only do they help the physical needs of the people, but they're also able, because they're working through the church, to expose the people to the gospel. And as a result of the physical help that Tear Fund have given, they're able to introduce them spiritually and see spiritual cleansing as well as physical help. So I certainly commend Tear Fund as a way to support work throughout the world. Now I want to ask a question. Anybody like to volunteer? What did you want to be when you grew up? When you were a child, if you can remember back that far, what did you want to be when you grew up? Anybody? You wanted to be a what? A car salesman. And did you achieve your ambition? Sadly, no. Anybody else? A nurse. Ah, but you did achieve your ambition. Well done. Anyone else? A teacher. There we are. There are some people who achieved their ambitions and some didn't. I must say, when I was a little boy, first of all, I wanted to be a train driver, because my Sunday school teacher was a train driver, and he took us, when we were little boys, under the footplate of an old steam train. Oh, it was exciting. We didn't chug very far. It was in a shunting yard, and we only went to a few yards, but it was great fun, and I wanted to be able to shovel the coal into the thing. Then as I got older, I wanted to be a chemical engineer, and I wanted to be all sorts of things. But as I got a bit older, I wanted to be a missionary doctor. And then all sorts of other things happened in the interim. But at the end of the day, I actually did end up as a missionary doctor, so some of us do achieve what we wanted to be. But unfortunately, not everybody gets to achieve what they want to be. There are many people in the world who have dreams when they're children, and because of their circumstances, they never get to achieve their dreams. There's a little boy called Nazib in India, whom Tear Fund have helped. His dreams turned into a nightmare. When he was 14 years old, he was trafficked. And he was made to work 21 hours a day, 6 days a week, 1,600 miles from his home for $2 a day. Every day, working like that. Children like Nazim lose the opportunity to dream and to fulfill their dreams. And because of the trafficking, there's a host of other horrible things can happen to them. Now, I'd like to introduce you to one of those children today, a 10-year-old Indian boy called Ankur, who found himself lost and in danger. And we're going to watch his story now on a short film.
Oh, Bihar is one of the least developed states in this country. Many people find it difficult to put food on the table for their families. Traffickers exploit this terrible situation and lure families by offering them false promises for better life. They take children mostly for child labor or bonded labor in the developed cities of this country. They make them work for long hours. They pay them very little, if anything at all, and the living conditions are awful. This is basically modern day slavery.
My name is Ankur. I'm 10 years old and I live with my father, mother and brothers in Bihar. My father works in the fields. He also works in a brick kiln to earn extra money. I help collect whatever food I can because there is never enough to eat. One day, I had gone to glean maize. I was taking my second load home when three men on a bike came and grabbed me. They covered my mouth and eyes like this and took me away. They threatened to beat me up. I thought that they would kill me and throw me away. It was dark and I was very afraid.
In the evening when Ankur didn't come home, I started searching for him. A man had come in the morning and tried to buy him as a domestic servant. I thought that man may have caught him and taken him away. I searched everywhere but couldn't find him. I couldn't stop crying.
When they left me alone to park the bike, I started running. I was scared there might be snakes and dogs, but I didn't want to run on the road in case they came back and took me again. I ran through fields all night. In the morning, I came to a town I knew and managed to find my way home. Mummy saw me and was very happy. I was so pleased to be home.
Ankur got back home, but many children are never seen again. EHA is TFN's local partner working to prevent the causes of child trafficking through self-help groups and strengthening of their livelihoods. We work with the local church volunteers to raise awareness of trafficking in the community.
EHA have helped us to set up a vigilance group in the village so that everyone is aware of the trafficking and we can keep our children safe.
The slavery is not just physical. It's also in their minds. Over centuries, they've been marginalized, they've been suppressed. So people have lost their self-esteem. We take God's word to them. The God's word says, we are all in God's image. We are all God's children. We are all equal. And that's what makes difference to these people here. The need here is enormous. There's still a lot of work to be done. But as a global church, if we stand together, we can stop children being taken.
My hope is that with Tear Fund's help, all the children in my village will be safe. We need your help to reach children at risk from trafficking, disease and disaster.
What struck you most about Ankur's story? Just think about that for a minute. It must be every parent and grandparent's worst nightmare to have a child disappear. We can't imagine what was going through the head of that little 10-year-old boy as he was taken away, blindfolded, and taken off to somewhere that he didn't know, wondering what was going to happen to him. And even when he escaped, running through the night, he was afraid of being bitten by a wild dog or snakes. Think of his mother, what was going through her head. Desperation, searching all night for her son. Thankfully, he escaped. And the people in India have worked out that he ran probably about 24 miles through the night. That's almost a full marathon. In fact, that's like running from Bangor to Lisburn. How would you like your 10-year-old to run that distance in the middle of the night, literally running for their lives? Sadly, his story is typical of 1.2 million children every year who are trafficked throughout the world. That's two-thirds of the population of Northern Ireland are trafficked every year. At Tear Fund, we believe that God designed women and children to flourish, not to be enslaved. Now, the Bible, of course, tells us about someone else who was trafficked, and that was Joseph. And we learned that in our reading earlier. Joseph was trafficked by his brothers and sold to traders, Ishmaelites, who then in turn sold him on to the Egyptians. So both Joseph and Anchor were trafficked, but for both Joseph and Anchor, we see that God is able to bring hope out of the horror that was their real life stories. So let's pick up the story of Joseph being sold into slavery. Next slide, thanks. Joseph was betrayed, sold by his own family for a profit. That must have really hurt him dearly. A few facts about trafficking. Trafficking is the fastest growing crime in our planet. Financially, it is second only to illegal drugs as the greatest income generating industry. And it is brought about by several factors. Extreme poverty being one of the main factors, and genuine ignorance. And also the rise of urbanization and mega cities. And of course, for the day that Joseph was living in, Egypt and the Egyptian cities were mega cities, where there was a need or a demand for slaves. So how does trafficking happen? Well, quite often it's someone who comes along well-to-do, well-dressed, and promises a better future for the family. If you let me take your child and I'll give you $50 now, which for many people is a month's wages, I can promise them good employment, they'll be able to earn good money, and they can send money back to the family. Now, if you're a very poor family and you're struggling to feed yourself at all, and you've maybe not even got enough money to pay for food for all of your children, the thought of one of your children getting a good job and being able to send money back and develop a career could be very tempting. But of course, there's no truth in the offer. It is not a good job that they're being offered. They are being taken away for slavery, either for slavery in employment where there is no money, where they're worked, like I told you about the other little boy, Nazib, or for the sex trade. Extreme poverty is the root cause of their vulnerability and puts some people between a rock and a hard place. Now, you saw that Anchor's father was holding down two jobs, and Anchor himself was working in the fields to try and raise money. When the traffickers approached Anchor's father in the morning to buy him, thankfully he declined the offer. But later in the day, they came and they kidnapped him. This was done to order by a wealthy bank manager who wanted to send his own son to school, but needed someone to do the household chores, and Anchor wasn't going to be getting any money. Kidnappers are driven by profit, and they see vulnerable people as commodities, not people. They're just something to be traded in order that I can make money for myself. So let's go on and see what happened in Joseph again. We read that when his master heard the story his wife told him, this was when Joseph was betrayed by Potiphar's wife, she then made up lies about him. This is how your slave treated me. And Potiphar burned with anger and took him and put him into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. Like Joseph, Anchor found himself at the mercy of his captors in an unfamiliar place with little or no opportunity to escape. Now, fortunately, Anchor did escape. And he was one of the few lucky ones. Slaves have no rights. We in our country have rights. Human rights are very much a topical thing. But slaves in those days had no rights at all, nor do slaves in today's world. But despite his difficult journey, Joseph knew that God was with him. And three times in the account in Genesis, Joseph reminds himself that God is with us. Survivors can find God and the capacity to forgive those who have wronged them. Tear Fund helps people just like Joseph and like Angkor by rescuing and rehabilitating them, as well as supporting communities so that they aren't trafficked in the first place. So let's pick up where we left off with Joseph. Joseph had been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he ended up in prison. And then we read that whilst Joseph was in prison, he was given leadership responsibilities over other prisoners, two of whom were former employees of the Pharaoh, and who had strange dreams that Joseph was able to interpret. It wasn't long before Joseph was summoned by the Pharaoh to interpret one of his dreams. And of course, as you all know, the story ends up with Joseph being made one of the right-hand man to one of the most powerful people on the planet. God is able to bring hope out of horror. And as we read, or as was read to us very well in our readings earlier, in Genesis 50, Joseph was able to recognize that what man intended for harm, God intended for good, which was the saving of many lives, helping a nation through famine and enabling reconciliation even within his own household. As Angkor was making his 24-mile trek back home, what he didn't know was that his mother, whose name was Malti, had made contact with a local church Tear Fund volunteer for help, who in turn was able to make an opportunity to make a real difference to Angkor's family, and in fact to the wider community, because Malti, Angkor's mother, is now a member of a community self-help group. She is also part of a vigilance group, which she hosts in her own home. Facilitated by church volunteers, it enables and empowers the local community to be aware of the dangers of people who come along offering false pretenses. When I was in Mumbai, we met a man called Prince David, who is the local Tear Fund representative for India. And he was telling us that he recently visited a village in the province of Bihar where they had set up these vigilance and self-help groups. And in the last year, one of these villages was able to tell him that no children had been trafficked in the whole of the year. Sadly, that is not true in the province of Bihar. On average, 4,000 children are trafficked every month in that one province of India. And that is happening in many other countries around the world. Tear Fund, with the help of churches in Northern Ireland and the people in Spar, who also are supporting Tear Fund, in the last few years, have been able to protect up to 80,000 vulnerable women and children. So Tear Fund are positively doing a good work in India. 4,000 children in one province in 1 month. During the time that I've been speaking, about 50 children around the world have been trafficked. Or to put it in another way, during the time that we have this morning service, the whole of P1 and P2 in Grange Park High School, a primary school, would have been trafficked. The whole of four classes would have been trafficked during the time that we're having this service. So, what can we do as God's people, as God's church? Joseph was opening to what God is saying. Even when he was imprisoned, he knew that God was listening to him. You and I are not imprisoned. And while the scale of human trafficking can feel overwhelming, we as a church can do something to play a part. One of the Tear Fund volunteers partners in India has said that trafficked people that we work with are like beautiful glasses that have been thrown out of a fourth floor window, breaking into 1,000 people. These people become full of shame, and they struggle to integrate back into the society, becoming both faceless and nameless. But biblically, the meaning of someone's name had quite an impact on their story. The meaning of Joseph is, the Lord will increase and add to. So what about you and me? What can we do to help? Over 200 years ago, a man called William Wilberforce responded to passages in the Bible and stories like you've heard today, and he began a campaign that led to the end of the transatlantic slave trade. But shockingly, more slaves are in bondage today than were ever bought and sold in the 400 years between the 16th and 19th century. More today than in four centuries in the past. God invites us to be part of their story as individuals who are unique and valuable to God. They are not just foreigners in some other part of the world whom we sort of look at and say, ah, more children in another part. Sure, we're always hearing about them. To God, every single one of those people are just as valuable as your children and my children, our grandchildren, and you and me. There is no scale of values in God's regime. We are all valuable to him. His son Jesus died for every one of us. So, what can we do? Will you help us, as I know you have been doing over the years? Will you continue to help us to help people like Angkor to have able to achieve their dreams? For his family to be able to be lifted out of poverty, to be protected from these people who come along offering them false hope. There's a number of ways that you may be able to help us. On the way in, hopefully you were given one of these little cards. And on the back of this card, it tells you ways in which you can help. There will also be an offering plate at the door on the foyer as you're going out. And as Johnny has said, for those who are staying for the lunch, all of the money that is paid at the lunch will go to prevent child trafficking through Tear Fund. I want to thank you because in advance I know that many of you are going to give very generously because this is a subject that is close to God's heart and is close to our hearts. For example, if you give £9, that is enough to help one child receive trafficking awareness. And £14 could help provide a family with the skills they need to set up a small business, which will help to protect them from falling into extreme poverty. If you fill in one of these cards, if God leads you to do that, there are ways in which you can help us. You may be able to connect with us, you may be able to get involved, or you may want to give regularly. And if you fill in one of these cards and give it to me at the end at the table out in the foyer, someone from the Belfast office will contact you to discuss how you might be led to help us and how you might be led to help these people. So if you would think about that and do that, there are some pens at the table and I have more cards if you need, or you can take it home and think about it and pray about it and give them to me next week or in the future. Regular giving obviously helps any organization. We all get regular incomes, and we know that because we have a regular income, we can budget. Similarly with Tear Fund, for those who do choose to give regularly, £6 a month would protect 2 children a year from trafficking, disease, and disaster. So I'd like you to think about that, and if God leads you, I know we're giving to many different causes, and we thank you for that. But if God leads you to give to this, then please feel free to do so. So let's take a moment now and pray and thank God for what he is doing through these Christian people that Tear Fund support. Heavenly Father, we know that your heart is for all people throughout the world, and we know that it grieves you to see the wickedness that is happening to people. And we know that our Lord Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples under the crowd, said, "Inasmuch as you do it unto one of the least of these, you do it for me." Father, we pray that you will help us to be able to support Christian people who are working to prevent this evil. And we pray for the people in Tear Fund who are working with the people, that they will be given wisdom and help to be able to protect innocent people who are being trafficked into horrendous situations. Father, we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen.